With Laura Fox.
Podcast. Now, if you're like me and you want some Asian food, you will probably just reach for your phone and order a takeaway. And many of us don't have the confidence to cook Asian food. But I'm joined in studio now by someone who's going to change that for us, because her mission is to teach people like me how to home cook their own Asian food. I've got Eva Pau with me, the presenter of the new RTE TV cookery program, Eva Pau's Asian Kitchen. Good morning, Eva. How nice does that sound? Doesn't it?
It sounds a bit surreal, I have to say. You know, it's like, okay, you know, Eva Pau's Asian Kitchen, really?
Yeah.
It's like, I can't believe first episode has aired. I'm just so excited.
It's incredibly exciting though. And obviously as a culture, you know, we've all gravitated a lot towards, you know, the Asian cuisine, and like we're obsessed now with like going for sushi and like Japanese restaurants and any form of Asian cuisine at all. But your family is steeped in the tradition of Asian food. Tell me a little bit about growing up here in Dublin with your parents.
It was really nice. Like, I mean, I moved here quite young, so like only a few months old. Yeah. So growing up here, at home, I would be as quite Chinese culture. You know, my mom and dad made sure that, you know, my dad especially, he was like, nope, you're going to be speaking Chinese. And, you know, and we ate a lot of Asian food and I was always in the kitchen helping out. And then when I was in school, it was like, okay, 360 switch, let's speak English and speak Irish. You know, at that time when I was learning English, I was learning Irish at the same time as well.
Oh my God.
So, you know, I just remember, you know, I really enjoyed the Irish side as well. You know, I remember learning Irish dancing and, yeah. You know, I would go to the Gael talks in the summertime. And so I felt like, you know, I was immersed in the Irish traditions. But yeah. Then, you know, I would have back at home, you know, we'd be probably watching Chinese TV or Chinese dramas, which I really enjoyed with mum as well. And so I think it really is a blend of the two cultures.
Well, it's so multicultural, obviously, as well. Like growing up here in Ireland, that was just your life. You know, you were growing up doing the Irish dancing, going to the Gael talk, learning the Irish in school like everybody else, and like learning the English at the same time. I love though how embedded your culture was at home the whole time. It was like, no, we're speaking Chinese here.
Yeah, I'm actually really grateful for that, because, like, you know, dad making sure that, you know, he said he has this story that he would tell people that, you know, when I was younger, if I wanted ice cream, I had to say it in Chinese, like, or else
smart.
I wouldn't get the ice cream. So, you know, but you see, it is that kind of dedication to making me speak the Cantonese language and say, no, you are Chinese, that has, you know, I'm now fluent in Chinese. So, and I love that, you know, about that.
It's sorry. Massive flex. I know it's thanks to your parents, but like, I mean, it's a great life skill to have as well. You can pretty much go anywhere in the world with the two languages that you have.
You know, when after I graduated, I worked in Hong Kong, and, you know, being able to speak in like fluently in Cantonese really helped.
Yeah.
You know, I could order my food. I could, you know, I think you're able to immerse yourself in the culture more. You know, there's no language barrier there.
Your parents obviously set up Asian Market.
Yes.
Which is incredibly famous. I mean, it's like it takes off on TikTok all the time with people like coming on my Asian market halls, right? That's 43 years ago, right? So they obviously sold the Asian products, but were they good cooks themselves?
Yes. So mom and dad were fabulous cooks. They were both the eldest of their family. So dad had two younger brothers and mom had three. So it's like she was the eldest of four. And so at home, they were always constantly cooking. And I'd say, you know, mom was more of a traditional Chinese cook. And then dad had a blend because he studied in the UK and, you know, so he kind of left out of teenager time. So, you know, he enjoyed a lot of, you know, I remember him cooking like seafood chowder or, you know, he'd enjoy a roast or, you know, he had that more of a blend. And so I definitely at home, you know, saw them cooking a lot. And obviously I grew up eating really good food as well.
I was just going to say, what interesting dinners to have.
I know, it's a real. That's why I think my taste buds are a real true blend, you know, I'd have. But you see, now that I have the foundation of the Asian cooking, I'm kind of trying to make some fusion dishes.
Yeah.
You know, I'd go, okay, well, I really enjoy pasta. And oh, there's this Korean pepper paste. Let's see what if we put these two together, you know, what does it taste like? You know, so I have that kind of adventurous streak as well for my food now.
I mentioned the Asian market and we're going to like stay on that for a second.
Yeah.
But what kind of food were they selling at the very beginning when they opened it up like 43 years ago?
Yes. Yeah, so at that time they would, I remember there was like a noodle aisle. So there was like lots of like instant noodles. And then they had a fresh vegetable section, and then they would have your, you know, your soy sauce,
yeah,
and, you know, the pantry key ingredients. And I remember Dad told me a story about them buying like in a full container of coconut milk. And at that time, coconut milk wasn't really used. I mean, Thai curries didn't appear at that time, yeah, you know, so it was a huge risk for him to bring that in. But then, you know, it slowly built up. And so at that time, yeah, they'd also have like Asian magazines, because it was a store really kind of targeted at the local Chinese community. So there was like, I remember a range of like Chinese magazines and comic books. And then my uncle was a really good cook as well. So like he came to Ireland when I was really young as well, when I was like 4 or 5 years old. And so he was a dim sum chef from Hong Kong.
Oh, class.
So he was, I remember he was making all the char siu buns and some dim sum and sold it at the store.
Yeah.
So it was like, you know, it was really compact, small, but I felt like, you know, we had all the key ingredients for offering to the local Chinese community.
Obviously, it's come on leaps and bounds now as well, and you're working in the business yourself. Yeah. So like, how have you seen things change with the, you know, with the Irish community and like their take on Asian culture?
Absolutely huge, because, you know, I remember when I was studying here in college, you know, and there was only one Japanese restaurant, and like sushi, it was like, oh my gosh, no, definitely won't touch
that.
You know,
slagged.
And like now, you know, you can get sushi. There's a sushi counter in Dunn's, there's a sushi counter in your local supermarket, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've literally leaps and bounds, and, you know, and I think it's from also people traveling, you know, people travel and they come back and they're like, oh yeah, I want to try the Thai food, or I want to try the Japanese food, you know. So definitely the Irish taste buds have grown, and it's such, now I feel like Ireland is really a melting pot for like Asian food. We have really good food.
We really do.
Really good.
Like we're incredibly lucky, because it's class. What I say is without a doubt.
We don't have to fly miles away to Asia. We can have it here.
But this is one of those things as well, is like, we obviously, as I said at the very beginning, it's so easy if we want some Asian food that we just go on our phones on the apps, or we go to a restaurant and get it. I would still be a little bit like daunted trying to actually cook any of these dishes at home. So you've gone from home cooking, speaking of daunting, you've gone from home cooking and, you know, entertaining and hosting to going on and hosting a TV cookery show. Like, was that a little bit of a...
I've always enjoyed cooking, and I prior to my own cooking TV show, I was cooking live on Ireland AM for a good few years.
Okay, fantastic.
And then I'd be shooting videos of, you know, online of recipes, you know. And so I've always had that kind of, I've always enjoyed cooking and enjoyed sharing recipes, you know. And that's how, I guess, I started the Instagram, because I was like, okay, I'd come up with an idea and I'd make a recipe, and then I was like, okay, I need some way of recording this, you know. And so it was really my own way of recording the things I was cooking.
Yeah.
But yes, to have my own TV cooking show and share, I think it's, I just want to share that, you know, home cooking is, it can be authentic, it can be simple, and, you know, there are only a few key ingredients that you need to add into your pantry, and you can make an amazing meal. You know, for a lot of the, you know, I'm not using like, okay, I'm not saying, hey, you need to add in 10 ingredients and then like a teaspoon of this. It's not that at all. You know, like in your local supermarket, you can get like your soy sauce.
Yeah.
So it's just knowing the difference. Well, there's a light soy sauce and there's a dark soy sauce, and then just add in one more thing, which is like an oyster sauce. Wow, you know, you can make just a good amount of that, knowing how much of it to put into your, you know, cooking just makes that little difference, and it makes it taste a little bit, you know, authentic. It makes it taste really authentic, you know.
And you're so right as well, because you can get all of these ingredients in your local supermarket now. You know, if you're doing just your big shop on a Sunday, you can just add them in, and they're not incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
You know, they can just like pop in. Is this the aim of the TV show, I suppose, to show people like me and anybody listening right now, you can do it, and you can have a banging dinner.
This is the thing.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the things is like, you have your ingredients, it's just how you use it. And then, you know, I really like cooking at home, and it's because, you know, you can adjust it to your own taste. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, I'm not gonna add as much salt or as much sugar, but you can still get a really good meal, you know, and you know what you're putting into it as well.
Before we move on from this, what are the key ingredients, if anybody is listening right now and they're going to go back and watch the first episode, what are the key ingredients that people should have in their presses at home?
So light soy sauce, dark soy sauce, sesame oil.
Okay.
A Shaoxing, kind of a Chinese cooking wine. I would suggest like a vinegar as well.
Okay.
And then oyster sauce.
Yeah.
And away you go.
Oh, fantastic.
It's like, that's all. That's all.
That's not too complicated at all.
It's not daunting at all. It's so simple.
I also, like, I'm thinking of what's in my press right now, and I have got light and dark soy sauce,
okay,
purely because I don't know the difference. So what I'm buying, I'm just like, I'll just pick up you this time and I'll pick up you the next time. So yes, you're going to explain that to us.
So the light soy sauce is to make it salty. So that would probably be the key.
Okay.
And then the dark is like, it's not as salty and it's for color usually. So like, you know, if you're making a fried rice or, you know, fried noodle and you're, oh gosh, this looks a bit, you know, bland, you know, add a bit of like a tablespoon of your dark soy and then you're, oh, okay, now it has a bit of color and it looks, you know, looks more inviting. So, and it has, it's more, it's just not as salty. So sometimes, mostly you'll be using your light.
Yeah.
But then sometimes you'll add in a little bit of the dark.
Mad. It was that simple. Just to ask a question, like, it's as easy as that. What are the big mistakes you think that we make when it comes to cooking Asian food?
I think it's knowing, like, for instance, the first episode is about rice.
Okay.
And it was, you know, I really wanted to share, okay, this is the way I make rice at home. And, you know, I hear from a lot of friends that when they cook, it's like, okay, a lot of water, then put the rice in and then they sieve it. I was like, sieve? What's this? You know, I've never heard of sieving rice.
Feel personally attacked here now.
And I was like, okay, you know, you should be adding the correct, first of all, you need to wash the rice, rinse it so that all that starchiness leaves the rice and leaves you with, like, you know, clean rice that's not without that starchy kind of starch.
Yeah.
And that means that, you know, you won't get really gloopy rice. So washing your rice is really important. So you need to wash it until you get running clear water. Then you need to measure the right amount of water. And then when you cook it, it literally absorbs all of that water and you get fluffy rice. And so, you know, I think, you know, that is a real key thing to getting really good rice.
I'm not, you know, that's absolutely perfect, because I've given up on trying to make rice that doesn't go in the microwave because I've messed it up so many times that I've had just gloopy rice and I'm like, oh, it's obviously just me and my pots and pans. So just to think that there was all these simple little things that I didn't even realise. What do you hope that people are going to be able to do after watching your TV show? Is that they're going to be able to just cook a basic Asian meal and they're going to be able to include it into their, like, weekly run of dinners?
That's exactly it. You know, it's like, I want to show them that it's really simple. Yeah. To make authentic Asian food at home and for them to try it. You know,
yeah,
it's like, you don't need that many ingredients and you can create a really authentic meal at home. So yes, you know, if you're kind of, and give them some dinner inspiration as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, because that's what everybody's looking for, especially, you know, you're this time of the year now and you're like, okay, I'm running out, you know, like, you need to be interested in what you're eating in the evenings. And, you know, when you get a bit, like, fatigued and bored of the same things over and over again, it's just
to
spice
a bit
it
of
up.
Excitement.
Yeah. Spice up. I need you to rate my chopstick skills.
Okay.
Have I got another pen? Hang on. Here we go. Right. I do have another pen.
Let's
see if I can do it with the pens. The pens are a bit chunky now. There we go.
Something to pick up. Oh, no. That's really good.
Thank you.
It's literally the correct way yes. to hold a chopstick. Well done, Laura. I'm so impressed.
Do you know why I started getting very good at this? It's because Brian, my other half, is incredibly crap at using chopsticks. So actually, the night that we got engaged, we were in an Asian restaurant and I was like, haha. And I was using my chopsticks to, like, pick up everything because I knew he had to ask for a fork and a knife and I knew it was going to kill him to go and do it. So he was just stabbing his food with the chopstick and picking it up. But
that's another way to eat, isn't it?
Let's get it into you. It doesn't matter. Eva Pau, thank you so much
thank
for coming into
for
us today. Oh, I'm so incredibly excited about going back and watching the first episode and watching all the rest that are coming out. That is Eva Pau, presenter of Eva Pau's Asian Kitchen. You can catch it every Wednesday for the next 5 weeks on RT1 at 8:30 p.m. or, as I said, you can watch it back on the RT player.
With Laura Fox Podcast.